This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Tuesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
It looks like we made it. It's election day. It's finally here. And I, you know what? Thank you.
Yeah, at this point, I think I wish there was this tighter window, you know, where you're not inundated with it 24/7 for a month and a half. I mean, we've had our ballot since the beginning of the month. And I just sit here going, I think I've really just reached the peak, and I'm excited that today's the day, and I'll be watching the news later to see outcomes. Granted, we won't have any official outcomes probably for at least a week.
I know. You pop out the laptop, wait for 8 o'clock, and then I know I always log into the Marion County election site, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. So pretty sure it'll be that same way tonight. But yeah, I think everybody is exhausted. This has been one for the books. It's been wild. There's been some just gross stuff. I mean, in the last minute, there's been a lot of finger pointing. It seems to have been a little bit more acrimonious than past seasons. I don't know. I'm ready. I'm glad it's over.
Well, that's the frustrating part to me as I sit here and say a week and a half ago, 10 days ago, we were talking about how it seems like this finally might be the point where no matter who wins this primary election, the Republicans can find a reason to get together. You know, we watched these couple of forums and it was kind of like there wasn't any real bad blood boiling up. You could feel a little tension,
real fireworks.
But you expected it. There was no gotcha moments. There was no viral videos.
Nope.
And you kind of go, okay, so we're going to kind of go through this and may the best person win. And let's all get together and make sure that we don't get stuck with four more years of Tina Kotek. And instead,
we're going to go there.
Okay.
I wasn't sure.
It made the news this morning.
Let me find where it is. I don't even know what difference it makes at this point. So we've all heard of it's Textgate. So I know people. I had it sent to me. I've had friends who had it sent to them. I've had screenshots sent to me. There was a text that came out, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was around that point when we were saying, you know, things are looking good and who knows what.
Yeah, maybe there'll be some unity. I mean, you know, no matter who wins, everybody wants to beat Tina Kotek. There's unity in that. Well, then this text hit and it made some false claims against Representative Ed Diehl. And nobody really knew where it came from. I know we had people that I know, they were speculating. We still don't know. Mm-hmm. Now it's come out. There's a representative, Dwayne Yunker, who posted to X. I sent that to you last night. So he's claiming that it's the same phone number on both. And then the second phone number, this new thing came out from friends of Christine Drazen. I don't think that proves anything at this point. I don't know enough about burner phones, third-party companies, people that do that. Who might have originated all this? There are so many questions on this that I still have on this. There was a company name. I went out and I asked AI, tell me about this company. And I took a screenshot and I looked at some stuff. And basically it's a Wyoming LLC called 121 LLC for digital and broadcast advertising. The listed address traces to a registered agent service that markets privacy, and it's not a public-facing ad agency. It doesn't prove anything, but it does raise legitimate questions like who's behind it. So those are the questions I have, who's behind it. But now you've got the Twitter army, the X army, the bots, whoever, out there trying to make hay of this. And we really don't know anything, though. We still don't really know anything.
And that's the thing is somewhere along the line, there's a paper trail and it's going to take some investigating to do it.
It will come out.
Well, yeah. And let's look at the reality of things. So it's this Wyoming company that we don't know. Any rando person could literally reach out to this company and run these ads. And if you say we're friends of Drazen, you're friends of Drazen. I mean, they're not going to question it. A lot of these places aren't, So there's number one. Number two, we are in the day and age where phone numbers can be hijacked.
Yes,
exactly. And so, you know, I don't know if any of these campaigns have the money to hire a IT expert that could do something like this. But I know that like my wife has friends will just for you know, funsies will literally send from a random number some weird text just to see how they react to it. And it's kind of like,
really? You
oh, yeah.
get weird friends.
Yeah, well, I don't, you know, I try and stay out of my wife's friend circle. But, you know, those are the, and that's the thing is we're in this day and age of technology where sitting at a computer screen,
right,
you
right.
could utilize a phone number or make it show up as that phone number on caller ID in a heartbeat.
Honestly, I do something as simple as I have a VPN that just shields my IP from advertisers and things like that. That's just common knowledge. Talking about money, though, and who might have the money, we have seen in the last couple of days running up to this, there's been thousands of dollars, tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands dollars on the Chris Dudley campaign that have been dropped on digital marketing and digital companies. And I believe in the AI search I did, when I was asking my ChatGPT, tell me about this ChatGPT. It took a while to do some digging on this. Normally, it's fast. And it turns out that both Dudley and Deal have used this company. Now, that's according to ChatGPT. Again, it can hallucinate, so I'm not staking my reputation on this, but that's what it's looking like. And so you're seeing a lot of people trying to make a lot of hay out of this. In literally the day before, I saw a press release come from the Deal campaign saying that Christine Drazen should drop out. I disagree with that. We don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
We there's all kinds of stuff out there, but there's nothing definitive. Nothing is proven. I think it's premature.
Well, and to me, that's a big challenge. Let's say that now Drazen wins this, whether it turns out to be there's a link or not, or Drazen's campaign's behind it or not.
Right.
This is now ammunition for the Kotek camp to use if Drazen were to win the primary. And I sit here and go, and even if, let's say Ed Deal were to win the primary and this turns out to be false. Well, now that's ammunition that Kotek gets to use of, hey, you know, whatever I'm doing out there, he's going to accuse me of doing something unethical like he does to his own party. And I go, we're at a point now where we need to convalesce and we get behind whoever wins this thing.
Yeah.
And all we're doing is driving a wedge deeper and deeper into the likelihood of that happening.
And honestly, is this that much different than the ridiculous flyers that people get that show the candidate, you know, shrouded in darkness with red text and scare font, trying to say all these things and making claims that are dubious at best, maybe borderline, they're borderline on the truth. I mean, I don't know if it's that much different. To me, it seems a little bit of a tempest in a teapot. And it's unfortunate coming right up to it. And what I did find, though, it seems like Dudley is trying to distance himself from this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dudley is definitely stepping out, and who knows, maybe that was a campaign strategy. I have said for weeks, the Dudley campaign has not energized me. There isn't any real energy. I'm not excited. I'm wondering what he's really all about. All these question marks, question marks, question marks. And now here at the 11th hour, we're really looking like that might have been the right way to go about things.
So he's going to like sweater vest his way into winning the disaffected D's and the Navs. He's just kind of been like floating along. There's been no fireworks. Like I said, I've not been real impressed. Mm-hmm. And I'm also like, dude, you ran in 2010. You've had 16 years to kind of fine tune some policy points. Mm-hmm. And it's been disappointing to not see a little more in the policy arena, because that's what I care about. Yeah, you can tell me what the problems are. We all know what the problems are in Oregon. I mean, we can all lay them out. Tell me what's your prescription here? So, but it is interesting because he was on Fox and Friends this morning. So there's a national audience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's just kind of calmly, you know, he's relying on his trailblazer background, which is totally smart. Mm-hmm. He's been doing the influencer. We talked about this yesterday, the sort of the paid influencers. Again, I don't care what Benny Johnson thinks about anything in Oregon politics, but apparently a lot of people do. So anyway, today's primary day. I'm exhausted just talking about it.
I'll tell you, before we go to a break, the one other aspect of this is we have just spent the last however many months saying, when you get that ballot, fill it out and turn it in. Now this whole fiasco at the 11th hour is going to make, come November, the idea of go out and vote early, go out and vote early, make people sit there and go, do I really want to do that?
No, you had to bring that up too. Yeah, you're right, though. You're right. That has a chilling effect.
Because right now, how many people that filled in the Drazen bubble or filled in the Deal bubble are kind of going, wait a second, this isn't what I want. I wish I could bring my ballot back and recast it.
Except that we need to reiterate here, we really don't know anything.
Mm-mm.
There's people saying, well, this is what it is and this is what it is. Again, looking at this company, we don't know that anything underhanded. We don't know who's behind it. A screenshot from one representative does not prove anything.
Nope.
So I just, you know, go forth, vote for you who you were going to vote for. It's really getting ugly. I've been disappointed in a lot of folks in this, just, you know, and just in general, because the whole tone has been ugly. But I think everybody understands what's at stake. This really is, this is a tipping point. I kind of think if Republicans don't get this right, I don't know that you get another shot at it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we're coming up. We should probably take a break pretty soon, but we do need to talk about the one, you know, statewide referendum that is on there.
Well, let's come back and talk about
that. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We need to talk about that because I haven't heard anything about it until this morning when it got mentioned on the news.
I know, me neither.
And that's disappointing.
It is to me, too, because that's a huge thing. That's a huge thing. All right, we're going to take a break on this election day. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care and Color Tile of Salem.
Alrighty. So yeah, before the break, we were talking about the big, big, big thing that really should be a nonpartisan issue. Really, frankly, everybody with any common sense and two brain cells to rub together should vote no on the gas tax.
It's the one thing that should have us at a 40% or 50% turnout at this point instead of a 20% turnout.
Yeah. I haven't seen the latest numbers. I think it was 26% yesterday.
Okay, by the end of the day. Yeah. Well, and I sit here and I go... And the pro-tax people probably did the very smart thing is just let this disappear into the background. They win or lose. It doesn't really matter because they suspect it would lose if people turn out. But instead of encouraging people to get out and vote, they just went radio silence. And then on the other side, I think, and this is where the big mistake is, there should have been something invested into making sure people were aware of this just because it would have increased turnout, especially on the Republican side of things.
Right, because of course the Democrats are going to be completely mum about it, which they have been. And that's why they obviously, with the shenanigans and moved it to from November against the will of the people, mind you, the people, the 250th or however many was that signed the petition from all parties, from all walks of life who wanted to vote on this in the general. Because by having it in the general, it is directly tied. It is yoked to Tina Kotek. And now it's that has been severed. So, of course, they're quiet. But you're right. I haven't seen really any strenuous campaigning. Granted, I know that we don't get that union money on
this side, so I'll tell you the two things I've seen. About a week ago, I got a little tiny postcard. I mean, we're all used to the political postcards. They're big, full half sheets of paper,
huge.
All kinds of vibrant colors. I got a dull, small, like it would be a thank you note size postcard that said vote no on the tax. So they didn't even spend a whole lot of money in doing the mailers up to grab attention.
Well, and that would have to assume that you know exactly what the issue is and why you should vote no.
Yep. And
which not everybody does.
Exactly. Well, and then, of course, on the news this morning, for the first time since election season began, they actually brought up, this is the big, you know, the big thing on the ticket is this, you know, so if you vote no on the gas tax, it keeps the gas taxes currently where they're at. If you vote yes, it increases them by 6 cents. And I'm kind of going, that's simplifying it quite a bit. Yeah. But at the same time, at least they mentioned it on the news.
Which was, you said, was the first time. And I like that. Mm-hmm. It's just 6 cents. Come on. It's like the cost of a latte, right? That's how they you know, try to get you to pass levies and stuff. I got a real quick one to interject. Friend texted me, just kind of going back to the last story about this company, that apparently in Wyoming, they do have laws where just about anybody can form an LLC without being able to disclose. You can basically be a shell company and no one has to know.
That sounds a little like Minneapolis or Seattle. Or Los Angeles, or any blue-controlled city.
I don't know. That's a state law. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, like a lot of people will set up trusts in, Delaware, because they're just friendlier to trusts. And so different states have different laws. So, again, the deep dive I did on that showed at least two candidates using that company. And, again, there isn't anything inherently nefarious about that.
Yeah, we don't know
anything. They just use this company. We don't know anything yet. So, anyway, okay, 120. I wanted to get that in there because I thought that was important to share. Yeah, so I'm not surprised we're not seeing any heavy campaigning on the no side, because this is a losing issue. Everybody is squeezed so tight. This economy is just crap.
Yeah, yeah. You mean on the yes side? They don't want. Yeah, they don't want people.
Both. The yes side, right?
Yeah, the no side of the argument. I understand not wanting to spend a whole lot of money on it on something that you assume is going to go down in flames, but at the same time, the assumption makes you
assume. Yeah,
okay. But I sit here going, the no side, especially the Republican no side, would have done themselves huge amounts of favors by making this a key issue even now, because now you're going to really see the turnout show up where it's going to massively go down in flames and hopefully invigorate the people to go, I'm going to vote for the Republican candidate that wins because I had to go out and vote no on this thing because of Tina Kotek.
So where do you think that messaging should come from? Should that come from the candidate? Should that come from the county parties, the state party? What do you think? Where would you like to see it come from?
I would hope to see it. I think at a Republican, a county, or even statewide Republican mm-hmm. level, because there's only, I mean, let's be honest, there's one candidate that's running that could truly run on this, you know, hardcore, and he does. You see in his
yes.
signs.
Right.
The others don't really want that, and so I wouldn't expect Dudley or Drazen to really use that as a big talking point because it wouldn't work for them. But at the Republican level, getting their voters out to vote, getting your voters energized, even in a primary, is such a huge step in the right direction for the voter apathy that we suffer from. Even watching some of this analysis that I read earlier, you know, they've taken the polls, they've seen these things, but a referendum like this could bring out people that haven't voted in a couple of cycles, that aren't being counted in these, and could really throw a monkey wrench into any of these races simply because something like this would motivate them to come out and actually vote, and instead it's quiet.
Except for the deal campaign, because mm-hmm. again, he really has become sort of the face of the petition drive and the referendum, which again was a spectacular effort mm-hmm. and wildly successful. And then, of course, we have to mention, obviously, the down ballot races and the city races, the mayor and city council. Honestly, really, for Republicans, the primaries are really becoming where it's at, really the most important races, even in red states, mm-hmm. because what you've got a lot of times is you've got a lot of people that sort of masquerade as Republicans. They say they're going to come in and I've got your values. I share this and I'm going to make your life easier. And then they get in there and they get elected and they vote like Democrats and they legislate and they, you know, they make laws like Democrats. And so but most people, you can't get them excited about a primary. In fact, how many people did we see during this whole cycle that kept saying, well, so-and-so needs to get out because they're going to spoil the vote, or they're going to, you know, they're splitting the vote. It's like, it's the primary.
Yeah.
Pick one. Then that one goes into the general. Do you not know this?
Yeah, and I'm sitting here going, yeah, the general election, yes. I don't want to see a third party, viable third party candidate in there because we saw that, and that would really upset me. But I just sit here and go, this is a point. We need to generate the excitement. We need to build something that we can take to November. Look what's going on in California. L.A. mayor's race, yep. governor's race down there. Instead, they're going, these are primaries that are building the excitement that can be then carried to November instead of this blah, blah primary. Oh, now we got to rally everybody, you know, in fall.
Well, and how much carnage? What is the fallout? Who's going to be left standing? All the bad blood. And we've seen this cycle after cycle. There are far too many Republicans in Oregon that, if their candidate doesn't win, they just go, yeah, I'm out, I'm done, I'm not voting, I can't stand. And then, you know, how much damage has been done to each, how many wounds have been inflicted. I don't know that there's been irreparable harm done to any of them, frankly. I really don't. I think there's certainly a possibility for unity. I think it was premature to call for the Drazen to drop out. I don't agree with that. I think it's going to be interesting because this will shake out.
Yeah.
You will find out who did it. And, you know, regardless, it's either a really smart tactic. And again, I'm not going to speculate because I honestly don't know. But there was a lot of momentum gained for the deal campaign. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm not making any comments that way because I don't know based on the company that it's there. And I can also tell you that it looks like both Deal and Dudley use this. There are other digital companies that are out there that are probably set up in this same way. There isn't anything inherently nefarious about that. So mm-hmm. we'll just have to see what happens.
Yep. And if and when, you know, they somebody goes in and figures out exactly who's behind it, where it came from, we'll find all that out. I'm not holding my breath, but at the same time, we are now at a part where we need to start looking towards the future, start really celebrating the accomplishments that'll come out of this primary. and get out and vote. I mean, what is it? It's almost 12:30, so there's, you know, 7.5 hours left to get those ballots turned in. And if you remember at 8:05 that's sitting on your counter, it's not going to do you any good.
You're going to get the buzzer or the sad trombone, and you can take it. Go to Marion County Elections. It'll tell you, affecting your ballot. Like you said, there's a map in there. Mm-hmm. And you want to go to a drop box. Do not put it in the mail.
Yes.
Repeat, do not put it in the mail.
And for me at this point right now, I would reach out to friends and family and make sure that they have voted, at least voting no on the gas tax. If nothing else, vote no on the gas tax. And then maybe something will tickle your fancy where you want to vote for the rest of the ticket.
Right. And you don't have to be registered with a party to vote on that. Or if you do have a city councilor, and you can vote for the mayor if you're in the Salem city limits. Mm-hmm. And those are critical, critical races. Those are races that I'm going to be watching, too.
Yeah.
We had Chris Cummings on yesterday. And so and we've had the candidates on for you to learn about. And so, yeah. But yeah, TikTok, time's running out, man. Got to get those filled out. Fill in the bubbles.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. And my biggest worry right now is, you know, if that gas tax passes, because people are just not going out and voting, what a train wreck Oregon is in for.
You know that that giant sucking sound that Ross Perot talked about in 1992? You're going to hear that. You're going to hear that from Oregon, a giant sucking sound as everybody leaves.
I think you're going to hear a lot of, you know, humming of electric vehicles as people leave too.
Nah, it's the people with the Ford F-150s. Well, no, they're getting out.
A lot of those have already gotten out, and those will be charging down the highway too. But this may push some of those electric vehicle owners out the window, because they're going to go, wait, my registration's gone up. I bought this because it wasn't going to, you know, it was cheap.
Well, and your electric rates are probably going to go up as well. So many things to vote on. So important to have your say. Your vote is your voice. Get out there and vote. All right, we're going to take a break to the bottom of the hour. Come on back on the other side.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us on this finally election day. Oh, did my voice crack a little bit there? So verklempt about it.
We made it.
Oy vey.
Sort of made it.
We're not there yet. You still got, you know, if polls close at 8, so there's still plenty of time to fill in those bubbles. All right. So yesterday we talked about, I can't even do her voice. Mayor Katie, little Katie Wilson up in Seattle, the 43-year-old socialist mayor up there who still gets a stipend from mommy and daddy for her childcare. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's running things up there. And in anticipation of is it FIFA or FIFA?
I think it's FIFA, F-I-F-A, okay. FIFA World Cup.
So the
Cup.
World Cup.
Yeah.
The World Cup. So they're like basically saying, oh, you know, homeless people, you got to go, man. You got to go. So they're shipping them out. They're putting them on the ferry system. And they're sending them over to Bremerton. And I still want to know, has anybody asked people at Bremerton how they feel about this?
I don't think so. I mean, at least they're not just, you know, putting up pictures of storefronts, like giant billboards, and just hanging them between the street and the side, you know, the side of the buildings to hide them behind it, you know?
Like a Potemkin village?
like an artistry backdrop, you know?
Oh, it's just a set. It's a movie set. Well, now she's, in all her brilliance, don't you love Democrats? Seattle's new socialist mayor, Katie Wilson, orders police not to arrest offenders for open drug use citywide. What could go wrong?
Well, has she asked Oregon? I mean,
right?
I mean, she's literally sat here and said, well, it works so well in Oregon. Let's go ahead and do it in Seattle. I guess. I mean, maybe. Maybe she doesn't even know where Oregon is. I would wonder.
Well, I don't know. You know, she's another one. Is she a carpetbagger? I mean, Tina Kotek is from, what, Ohio or something? And she's a carpetbagger in here. Kate Brown was a carpetbagger. They all come in. And
I don't think she's a carpetbagger. What it really sounds like is she was a privileged young white lady who's never had responsibility in her life and was just kind of, you know, moved into Seattle to take over.
And you've watched her press conferences. She's got handlers all around her. The second anything even remotely veers into this, maybe like a serious question, and they're like yanking that girl out of there so fast. It's just ridiculous. I honestly don't understand. Oh, anyway, I'm not going to go there.
Well,
how people voted her in, whatever. Well, they're stuck with her now. They've got her for 4 years, so enjoy that, Seattle.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is we can look around this nation and see the damage even a socialist mayor can be causing at this point. And I'm sitting here going, it's why these local elections are so stinking important, because you can guarantee the people of Seattle right now, when there's a group of people doing the fentanyl bend outside your residence or gang shots. I was watching some stuff earlier. There's a street in Seattle that is literally one of the prostitution capitals of the world, where daily there is pimp shootouts. There's literally a pimp turf war going on in this neighborhood. Two bullets went through the bedroom of a 5-month-old baby and lodged in her bassinet. I am just sitting here going, and no one's doing anything about it. One guy said, I literally called the police. They said, well, it doesn't sound like anything's going on out there. He went out the next morning, found 13, 14 casings in the street outside of his house.
Can you imagine?
I'm just sitting here going, this mentality is turning Seattle into an absolute war zone, and no one is stepping in and doing it. I mean, hell, Katie Wilson just had a press conference a couple weeks ago where gunshots rang out from the other side of the building she was in front of.
Yeah. There's somebody on here too, says a Seattle resident here. Seattle Democrat mayors have not allowed the Seattle police to arrest for public drug use since the 2023's new public drug use law. All Seattle Democrats are against the basic protection of the rights of citizens and businesses that demand arrest for this crime. So you can just sit there and go control C and then pop it over into another blue city, control V. It's the same thing. Go ahead. It's the same in every city that is run by Democrats.
Well, I sit here.
Bar none. Maybe there's one. I don't know.
I grew up in the greater Seattle area. I had plenty of experiences, friendly and less than friendly going downtown over the years. But you knew areas to avoid. I know people that have in the last couple of years have gone up to do the tourist thing. Pike Place Market, Seattle Center Arena. Parking their car for a couple of hours, would come back, windows were busted and cars were looted. I mean, that's how crazy things are there. And of course, we talked a few months ago about, New York City, where as the snow melted, it became a giant turd sandwich.
It was a big litter box.
Mm-hmm.
Giant litter box. And how
there might be a lot of furries in New York. You never know.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, let's look at Brooklyn. Okay, just saying. You would get to talk about Mamdani as well, because again, here we have, this is a Democrat socialist. And again, they're not really affiliated, but the Democrat Party really has been taken over. Your average Democrat, I don't know if they don't realize it or not, it's not the JFK Party anymore. The Mamdanis and the Katie Wilsons have taken it over. The crazies, the AOCs, the socialist, progressive, Marxist, communist. There you go. Mm-hmm. But of course, you have that video of Katie at some forum saying, and I think it's overblown, all the millionaires and billionaires and the businesses that are leaving. And when they do, bye. And you've got the same thing with Kathy Hochul in New York, who was like, yeah, fine, bye. So, and then the same thing with Mamdani. And so when he was out front of that millionaire billionaires trying to shame him, and he's like, I'm out of here, dude. I'm not leaving you my tax money, into this city. I'm going to Boca.
He's not only leaving, he stopped a massive construction project in New York because of it. And it's just like, they don't get it. And again, I can go back to what we were talking about yesterday. Maybe it's the school systems not educating people on how economics actually works.
Ding, 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 ding. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. That's it. That is it. So now you've got them begging, and Hochul, governor of New York, is begging them to come back. Pretty soon, Katie will be begging them to come back. Oh, please come back from Boise. Please come back from Nevada. Please come back from Miami. And the same thing in New York City. Please come back. Wait a minute. What happened to our tax base? Well, you crap on people long enough, they're gonna take their money elsewhere. This is such common sense, and it's why you see Spencer Pratt resonating in LA as well. When people speak the truth and they tell the truth and they point out, it is these policies that have made your life less livable, miserable in many circumstances. People look around and go, yeah, he's right.
Yeah, now it's just convincing them that, the alphabet letter isn't the end all.
Well, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least in New York, there are still artists out there creating street art that they can move around and display for the public to see.
If you don't follow, first of all, if you're a sensitive type with sensitive ears, he's a little R-rated. His name is Scott Labido. and I follow him on X, and he's an artist, and he reminds me. I have another friend, Sabo, who was a street artist in LA, who would go out and you'd see. Remember the Ted Cruz? It, like, all pimped out Ted Cruz with the cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and he was all gang tatted up. That's Sabo. Sabo has since moved to Tennessee, I think. They're all moving. Anyway, Scott Lobato, he's the one who was throwing pizzas at Gracie during one of the mayoral, I think it was during COVID. He had just had enough with the ridiculous policies on this. Well, he's now installed right in front of, I believe it's City Hall. Mm-hmm. And it is a big giant, it is a statue. It is a very well done statue, but it is of a bird. Of a flipped bird.
A bird with no feathers, let's put it that way. Yes, it is a tribute to Momdami and his policies. And it's a very descriptive artwork. Let's put it that way.
It's got a lovely patina on it, though. It's quite lovely, Hunter.
It sends a message of very few words.
And honestly, no words are needed.
No. But I just go, and maybe that's the way to push back on this stuff, is create a spectacle with some artwork. And you know that New York, they love their art community.
They do. Mm-hmm. They do. You know what's surprising to me is it's still up.
Well, that's because they probably can't afford city workers to remove it.
I don't know. You're gonna get the good old boys over there. I don't know, the Goombas, and it's like, you're not taking this down. Nah, this is staying up. We're gonna guard this thing. This is staying up. So it's funny to see how people are reacting. And a lot of people are noticing. And I think one of the big ones, too, before we take a break. And again, I want to got to talk about Spencer Pratt, because, I mean, he's blowing up everywhere. And the ads and the AI ads that are coming out. And I think I mentioned yesterday, if he wins, watch. AI ads are going to be banned in every blue city, every blue state. No more AI ads. No more.
Well, just that Fresh Prince of Bel-Air ad.
Oh,
I saw
gosh.
It yesterday.
Brilliant.
It was wonderful. And I sit here and go, and the one thing I haven't seen, because as we know, whenever a conservative uses trademarked music, there's all of a sudden an upheaval. So I'm a little surprised we haven't heard someone kicking and screaming that he's using the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air music.
Interesting. Well, maybe he's tweaked it just enough. It's kind of like what Ice Ice Baby and the Queen song. It was dun, 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 dun,
well,
not dun.
maybe some of those people in L.A. That behind that music lost a house in the Palisades fire as well. You never know.
Well, exactly. I love it, because basically you've got a homeless guy running for mayor of L.A. Mm-hmm. And he's doing a brilliant job, and he's out there. And again, he is rejecting the premise of all these ridiculous media outlets. He's kind of running a bit of a masterclass on how to do this. And so I think a lot of candidates could learn from this, because he's getting a lot of airtime, which a lot of times, and he's not, I think he's registered a Republican, but I wouldn't necessarily call him a conservative.
Oh, no, I sincerely doubt he's a conservative, but I would literally, I'm just sitting here going, at the very least, the people behind this need to set up a video or something they can send out for potential politicians to learn the tricks here. Because it just makes so much sense, and it hits home, and it resonates so much with people. I would love to see a Republican in the state of Oregon take that same path, because, gosh, there's so much ammunition out there to utilize in those kinds of ads.
There is. And honestly, having that TV, that media background, is helping him. He understands what far too many candidates don't, is that the person who's interviewing you is not your audience. Mm-hmm. It's the person listening to the interview who is. And far too many people try to tailor their comments to the person interviewing them. They're not your friend. They're just a conduit, man, for you to get your message out. He gets that. Mm-hmm. And he's doing great. And I'm loving every second of it. Their primary is June 2nd. So he's got a little more time.
Yeah.
We got a little more time to enjoy that. So, all right, let's go ahead and take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
Okay, so this story, this is interesting. This is actually coming out of Idaho, but of course it's also in 11 other states, I believe. And really, this is something that policy, this is who you vote for again. Who puts these? This is surveillance state. This is spying and tracking you.
No, I think it's about cool looks. I mean, imagine you had like a jet black tinted out, you know, little sports car, and you could go out, because right now you go out, you see these license plates, and they're all sorts of different colors, yada yada. I mean, what if you just got a black license plate with white numbers on it? How fancy would you look cruising around like that?
Amazing. And that's how they're selling it, Hunter, because they do look cool. I have a white pickup truck. These would look cool on my white pickup truck.
Yeah.
Because I got dark windows on that thing, too. So this is a black and white license plate. They're often referred to as blackout plates, and they're becoming increasingly popular. But they also happen to be easier for automated cameras and license plate reader systems to scan and track. So we talk about this all the time, the surveillance state. Everything is, well, it's convenient. It's cool. It's also making it easier for the state to start figuring out every time you go by one of those cameras, it's snapping an image of you. Oh, and wow, can we come up with like a little map of where you go all the time?
And you add this into a few other articles that we've read over the last few weeks, and the Flock cameras are popping up all around the nation, and their one goal, because Flock is a private company, is they are tracing, geo-tracking your location based off of your license plates, and using that information, they're selling it to insurance companies, they're selling it to marketers. They're selling it everywhere you can possibly imagine. And of course, they're open warrantless to your local police department if there was a crime in the area for them to access and see if maybe your car turned up in that neighborhood.
Yes, because these things, they not only the plate numbers, they identify the vehicle make, the model, the color, the travel patterns. They can even see into the car and see you.
Mm-hmm. No matter how darked out your windows are.
Right.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, is they're taking these plates and they are marketing them as these very cool looks. And I'll tell you what, I saw the pictures. They look cool. These are cool looking plates. I would love to get something like this. But at the same time, knowing what's coming and what's here and everything else, just earlier this week, the Salem Reporter and the newspapers were putting out, you know, the massive amount of money that the city has collected with the 6 red light cameras that are around Salem.
Yeah.
People speeding, people running red lights, people turning on a right turn. I mean, they are sending out tickets en masse. And if you know anything about the traffic division, it is more of a guilty until proven innocent kind of law system. So they are raking in big bucks just on that and the license plate and your picture in the driver's seat.
And every one of these things, we've talked about this so much, every one of these things starts out as it's just traffic cameras and automatic toll systems.
It's just making the road system safer.
It's more convenient. It's just making somebody safer. It's just facial recognition. And I always love the one, like when I, you know, surveying and listening in on your phone. Well, I have nothing to hide. I don't say anything. Well, until you do, somebody else, some arbitrary person is going to decide, we don't like your speech now. Now you're on the wrong side of it, honey. And we do care about what you're saying.
Okay, so I'm going to go back. God, let's see. It has to be about 30-some-odd years, okay? And I was having this conversation with my daughter because we were talking about cell phones and this and that and the tracking and everything else. I said, back when mobile phones became a thing in your house where you had a base, but you didn't have a wire anymore. So you had the little antenna on your
phone. The cordless phones,
okay? Somebody much smarter than me came up with this little thing where they could drive around, park out at the street with a little virtually thing that locks into your thing, and they can listen in on your conversation. And there was a politician, I believe, up in the Seattle area who virtually fell for that. Somebody had recorded a conversation using one of these devices and then released it publicly, and it ended the career. And I'm sitting here going, we are so far beyond that level of technology at this point. It's scary.
It is. And again, it starts with the traffic cameras as well, cordless phones, facial recognition, cell phone location tracking. You know, you always think, I'm going to put it in a Faraday bag or I'm going to turn it off. No, it really never is off. You have to remove the battery. You've got digital IDs, AI-powered surveillance systems, vehicle data collection, smart devices constantly gathering your information. Please give me a dumb refrigerator. Thank you very much. And then cellular trail cameras. And then you add in the kill switch on all new cars. Starting in 2027, come on, you can bake this cake.
Well, I mean, let's look at it this way. The other one that kind of gets that mention and it's like, oh, it's never going to happen. We already put microchips in your dog and your cat. How much longer till they're putting one in your hand or the back of your neck?
Again, that sounds very Marky Beastie to me. I don't like it. I don't like it. It feels a little bit like the boiling frog because it starts out very slowly and it's done for convenience and it's done, for the greater good or for your safety. How can you be against protecting children, pets, animals, old people, whatever? That's always how it's presented. And you're the bad guy if you're like, but wait a minute, why do we need to do this? And what if it gets in the wrong hands? Or what if, you know, well, maybe we should step back a little bit here.
But look, if we're able to do that, how much easier will it be to track criminals and drug smugglers and human traffickers? Oh, wait, those are the people that will never show up to have a chip implanted into them. It's just like the gun argument. The only people that are going to have guns if we take them away from all the people that are willing to turn them in if the law says so are the people who shouldn't have them.
Honestly, all these things always punish the wrong people. Always, always, always. So the questions you need to ask on any of this is who's collecting the data? That's the big one. And when you look at who's pushing these policies and the language that they're saying to shove them on you and to push them on you, to convince you, just think back to COVID, people. Just think back to COVID. Why are they collecting the data? How long is it stored? Who has access to it? Can it be abused politically or commercially? And what protection exists for innocent citizens? And we are so far ahead of our skis, especially on AI. AI is can replicate and make it better. Pretty soon, it's going to be at the nanosecond level. And I watched a really interesting podcast yesterday. We are at super complex systems. And your confidence level on super complex systems should be zero. And there's too much hubris in this and too much confidence that we've got control of all of this.
We are so far beyond any of that conversation. I mean, literally, I can sit here and go, commercially, they're already exploiting you. I can have a conversation about a product with my wife. If my phone is in the room, I will see ads for it on social media within an hour. I mean, that's how quickly these things are happening. So, yeah, I need to go back in time like 40 years ago. And find some kind of entertainment that can take me out of what's going on right now.
Well, you're in luck because I think one of the best movies of all time, which I always love too. Remember the original Top Gun? Mm-hmm. I feel the need for speed. Goose and Maverick. Oh.
Well, Goose still brings tears from people watching that movie.
Oh, don't spoil, I guess, if someone hasn't seen it by now. It came out in 1986, so if you haven't seen it by now. But it's coming back to theaters, and it's coming back in honor of America 250, and I love everything about it. I love it.
Yeah, they're bringing it back to theaters, as well as the sequel, Top Gun Maverick, from a few years ago.
Which was great.
And so, I mean, it might be a good weekend to go see a double feature, a little Top Gun and Maverick together.
Now, 1986, I fully appreciated that beach volleyball scene. Do you remember that? Or was that more of a girl thing?
I think that was more of a girl thing. but at the same time, this is one of those movies that you can't replicate even in some of the most high-end home theater setups. Yeah. You need the movie theater experience, the planes, the noises, the everything else. It's one of those kinds of movies where the theater would be an experience similar to like the first Star Wars or Saving Private Ryan.
That you really never forget. And the soundtrack, of course, you've got Kenny Loggins with Danger Zone. You've got Take My Breath Away. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole movie, it's great. What was her name? Meg Ryan was in that. That was one of her first films. She was Goose's wife. She was adorable. It's just such a great movie. And it makes you feel so proud and so great to be an American. And recruitment for the armed services went through the roof after this movie.
All right. So this is in honor of the 250th anniversary. So what better plans for the day than to get that vote turned in and then go watch a little Top Gun?
Amen. GOTV, get out and vote. Make your voice heard. All right, everybody, that's it for us today. Again, go out and vote. We will see you tomorrow with all the results.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.